Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
The beautiful thing about this psalm is that this psalmist has this realization that God's presence is better. Right? And that's why I want to go over it, because there's this excitement, there's this joy, there's this oomph about being in the presence of God that I think we as a church desperately need, right? So let's jump into it. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to live in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. Amen, man. That song makes me want to go, woo, praise the Lord. Right? It's beautiful because the psalmist, he's reflecting on this longing that he has to be in the presence of God. Right, in verses 1 and 2, I long with my body, my soul, I faint with longing. That's intense. Have you guys ever fainted with longing for something? I don't think I have. So there's this encounter that he's had, right? There's an encounter that he's experienced something that he desires more than basically anything else. He's not fainting to have more food. He's not fainting to have more achievements. He's fainting to be in the presence of God. That means in God's presence, he's tasted something. In God's presence, he's found something more substantial than anything else he's seen. So he shouts for joy. He shouts for joy because he needs to be there, right? There's been an eclipse that's happened in his life where God has ruined everything else. And I think that's what I want in my life, because I'm not fainting to be in the presence of God. Usually I'm fainting because I'm not eating enough and I'm like, I want more food. He's fainting to be in God's presence. It's wild. And I love the wording that he uses there to address God. O Lord of heaven's armies. That's a big title. First of all, the capital L-O-R-D usually refers to the name of Yahweh. That's the covenant name of God. That's the name that he revealed to Moses when he led his people out of Egypt into the promised land, right? It speaks to the God who makes a way. It speaks to the God who holds power. It speaks to the God who is everlasting to everlasting, who has no equals. And he is the king of heaven's armies, right? The one who made the starry skies, the one who is the commander of the heavenly places. Like, I mean, if you've tasted and seen that, right, how can you go back to other stuff? I mean, he's had an encounter with the God who made everything out of nothing. If that's not miraculous and if that's not amazing, I don't know what is. Right? So he's seen this God and he sees that this is infinitely better. And in verse 10, right, he repeats, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than to live in the homes of the wicked. And when I read that, it's like, is that true in my life? That I would rather be in God's presence or even being in the vicinity of God's presence more than living the American dream. And I feel like most days I want to live the American dream, but it's because I'm not tasting. I'm not going before God and encountering the one who is actually more substantial than any of these stupid distractions that I put before my eyes. That he's actually so much greater. A better, the single day in your course is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Anybody here have a good day? You've had a good day before? That's good. Glad to hear that. That's awesome. But this is better than 1,000 one of those. Think of the best day that you've had in your life. Like I'm thinking, maybe not the best day of my life, but I went to Mexico last year with my family. That was awesome. Right? But a moment in God's presence is better than 1,000 days at an all-inclusive resort in Mexico. But seriously, I think about times where I was discouraged in life and I was at the end of myself and I cried out to God and I said, Lord, I can't, but you can. And the peace that I found, honestly, it's more relaxing than any place that I could go to, literally, right? It's better than any house that I could build for myself. It's better than any place I could kick off my shoes and relax in. It's his presence, and that's what the psalmist has experienced. And in reality, and compared to God, every other home that we dwell in, every other place that we abide in, is ultimately vanity compared to him. It's vanity. That's what Ecclesiastes, the whole book is vanity, vanity. Everything is vanity. Meaningless. Everything is breath. Whew, here one day, gone the next, right? The teacher says in Ecclesiastes 1:14, I observed everything going under the sun. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. It is all meaningless. It's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. That kind of hits. It's all meaningless. Right, this job that I'm working so hard at, and I'm trying to, you know, just get another raise, and you know, maybe whatever it might be. Right, Solomon, the teacher, right? He gained money, he had pleasure, he had hundreds of wives. It's like, okay, dude, settle down. He had so many possessions, and he even built a lot of stuff. Right, so he put in the work, he put in the grind. But at the end of his book, he doesn't say, "Yeah, that was great. I lived a good life. Now I'm going to die now." No, he says his conclusion is fear God and obey his commands. This is the duty of every person. That's our duty, because that's the only thing that's actually going to last. Right? The only thing that's actually going to be substantial and continues on when we pass away, which is very quickly, is his ways, is his kingdom, is his commands. And so if we as a people, which I think we do, we all have this yearning to build somewhere, to build something, to live somewhere, a place to kick off our shoes. None of those places are going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. And some of us, man, we're super restless. And man, we're super tired. And man, we're exhausted. You know, I feel like there's been so many people that I've talked to in the past, just tired all the time, including myself. You're just tired. I mean, life is busy, right? And it happens. But our hearts are going to remain restless until we learn to rest in him. That's really it. We're going to remain restless until we kick off our shoes and we build our homes in the presence of God. Right? Where we go to him first and foremost when things are going on, when somebody's cutting you off on that roundabout there. The first thing you do is not bringing out your finger, but actually saying, Lord, I need you right now. Right, and that's ultimately what being in his presence is about, is he's the first one we turn to. He's the first one we go to, right? And we're going to remain restless until we build that habit of going to him first. Listen, God is a better leader than we are followers. God is a better leader than we are followers. Sometimes we think we're really good followers. I know in my head, I'm like the best follower. God just gives me he says like half the word. I'm like, say no more. I've got it. Yeah, you said, nope, I hear you. I'm going. Like we try to do life by ourselves, right? I look at the Israelites, like Moses goes on the mountaintop to receive the Ten Commandments. And then they're like, oh, who led us out of Egypt? And then Aaron's like, let's build a calf, right? They solve their own problems and they completely miss the mark, And we might not be building golden calves and missing the mark that way, but we miss the mark in so many other ways. Right? We say, Lord, okay, I'm going to go in this direction. Okay, thank you for leading me. I've got it from here. And we take it on our own. And then we fall short. So many times in my life when I try to do it on my own, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because I suck. I do. But God doesn't. That's the whole thing here. He doesn't. But he knows that we're fallible. He knows we're finite. He knows we're dust. And boy, we suck at following. But he is a better leader. That means we don't have to try to tie up our laces and just keep going. We can actually let go. Did you know that in some of your circumstances right now, you can actually let go? I'm not talking that you don't care anymore, but you can stop holding the burdens on yourself. You can stop striving to just carry your pack and keep pushing through. You can let go. You have the freedom to let go. Because God is a better leader, and he's going to lead you infinitely better than you can lead yourself. He can do your calling. He can lead you in your calling better than you can fulfill it yourself. Guys, his presence is enough. He's the Lord of heaven's armies. Come on. He's the Lord of heaven's armies. He will provide. It's so easy to lean on substitutes, man. Like, it's the default. Right? It's the default setting, like on our phones, right? You have default setting. For me, the default setting is being selfish. It's so easy to do what I want. You don't have to think about it. You just do it. It's just instinct. You just, I want this, so I'm going to do that. Right? But to follow God, to exchange substitutes for something else, it's more than just default. There's something, there's a decision, there's a conscious choice that we have to make. And so many of us are substituting God's presence for literally anything else. Because it's easy. But God isn't calling us for it to just be easy. God is calling us to run to him. You know, some of us were just waiting for the right relationship. Now my life's gonna be good. I'm just waiting for the right raise. Now my life is gonna be good. I'm just waiting for more kids. Now my life is gonna be fulfilled. If I finish this next project around the house, oh man, that'll be nice. But there's always more. There's always something else. It's never enough, and we stay restless. Those and they might be good things, but if we make those good things our home, they're going to be spoiled. Listen, if I make my wife complete top priority in my life and she becomes my God, when she falls short, I'm going to be ruined. Right? If I put my eggs all in one basket, it's a dangerous thing. But we can put it in him. Because he is faithful, right? In Isaiah 47-8, it says, the grass withers and the flower fades, and so with people, or beneath the breath of the Lord, and so it is with people. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. It's a solid foundation where we can kick off our shoes and be still. It's a solid place where we can take our worries and our anxieties and the things that are keeping us up at night. Listen, his ways, his word, his law, his kingdom is infinitely better than what we can do. Infinitely better. And so if we want to build in something worthwhile, let's build in him, man. Let's build in him. And so my question again is, where are we building our house? Where are we living? What are we abiding in? What are we putting our hope in? Where are we resting in? And do we actually recognize that without God, that we're actually kind of hollow and void? Or are we too comfortable with the substitutes that we don't even see our need? That's something to reflect on. It's something that I've been reflecting on over the fast. And the truth is, I've been comfortable in my own life, man. It's so easy to just coast. But he's not calling us to coast as a church. He's not calling us to coast as a people. He's calling us to get desperate and to run to him because there's something bigger that he wants to do. We're all making our home somewhere. We're all abiding somewhere. And sometimes, you know, I've heard people say, you know, I can't abide. Like, abiding is hard. And maybe you're here this morning and you're like, man, I'm trying to abide, but man, I just suck at it. Yeah, hopefully to encourage you this morning, I want to say that you don't suck at abiding. You don't. You're actually good at abiding. Everybody here is good at abiding because we all abide somewhere. We just The problem is we're abiding in the wrong place. We all can abide. We're hardwired to abide, but we just keep abiding in the wrong places. It's Him. It's His presence. That's where we need to abide. He is our true home. The psalmist is longing to be in the presence of God because He is greater. He is the Lord of heaven's armies. There is nothing like Him. He is a better place. Verses 3 and 4 says, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Listen, birds don't know much. Kind of dumb. They fly into my window and they die. But in this context, right, the bird knows one thing. I'm going to build my house here. It's a good spot. There's some shelter. There's no wind. I'm going to raise my young here. So many times in our own lives, we overcomplicate it. And we think that we need to have all of the wisdom. We need to have it all together. And we think we have to be perfect followers. And then we neglect the simplest thing of just simply building our nest in His presence. Simply being close to Him. It's not complicated, but it's hard. And you know, some of us, we're trying to be perfect parents, and we're trying our hardest, but man, if we're not building in His presence, what are we doing? Hockey's not going to make our kids become children of God. Being in His presence will, right? I'm not a dad yet, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, man, if I want to build my house somewhere, it's got to be in His presence. If I want my kids to turn out right, they've got to be in His presence because He's the only way. Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to build my house that's going to last? It's Him, right? And in His presence, we learn surrender and we learn lordship. And we see that in the psalmist. He praises God. He thanks God. He's directed by God. He knows that God is going to lead him. In verse 5, it says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. It's a joyful thing to find strength in God, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So I want to stick on that first part there with joy. There's joy when we learn to let go because we're not carrying the burdens on our backs anymore. Guys, there's a journey that we need to go on, but it's not going to happen on itself. There's intentionality, right? We set our minds on Jerusalem. If we don't set our eyes on going on God's presence, we're going to miss out. We're going to miss out. But at the same time, when we set, even though it's hard, even though we need a plan, there is strength. What joy, right? As the pilgrims, the pilgrims who were visiting the temple would have been singing these songs, right? There was joy because they know they'd be in the presence of God, and that's infinitely better than what they can be. And so we have a choice to make in our families, in our relationship, in our marriages, in our jobs. Are we going to choose to build in God's presence, or are we going to try to do it on our own? We need a holy desperation. We need a holy desperation. We see that in the psalmist, this desperation to be near God because there's nothing else. And I feel in my own life, I haven't been desperate, but I want to get desperate. We as a church need to get desperate. If we want to see God move in our land, if we want to see God move in our families, if we want, you know, we talk about revival, but if we're not desperate for it, we're never going to see it. We got to get desperate to see God move. We got to get desperate to move in our circumstances. We got to be desperate enough to confess our sins, to walk with other people, to live in accountability, to cut off what cuts us off from God. We got to get desperate enough to go before Him, to plug into community, to stop trying to do it on our own. It doesn't work. If we want transformation, we've got to get desperate. If we want to see Winkler come to Christ, we've got to get desperate. Desperation brings transformation because it brings us at His feet. And that's ground zero. That's where it all begins. If you can do one thing, is be at His feet and He will lead you. There is joy for those who find their strength in the Lord. You don't have to carry it. And some of us, man, we're tired because we're carrying it all. Some of us are carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders right now. You can let it go. Let God. Verses 4 and 5, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those who find their strength from the Lord. It's a good place to be. It's better than where we're at right now. And that's the thing about God's presence is the beautiful thing about the birds. They just know they need to be in God's presence. So God's presence isn't for the wise of this world. It's for those who realize that it's a better place than where they're at right now. He's a better place. Verses 6 and 7, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. A place of refreshing springs, right? Those who have set their minds to journey to Jerusalem, that's where God's temple was, right? As they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. Isn't that beautiful? And some of us, man, we're in the valley of weeping. We're trying to follow God, but it's hard. There's loss. There's heartbreak. There's circumstances that we can't control. Yet the promise here is that even in those tough circumstances, God wants to bring refreshing. When we learn to continually set our eyes on Him and to not stop on our journey, but to keep going, that we might actually find rain. That the dry season that we're in isn't forever, that God wants to pour out the rain. And so, let's build our house in Him. Listen, if you're here this morning, I'm going to be bold here and asking something of you guys, but if you're here this morning and you're in a season that is really dry, or you're walking through the valley of the weeping, or if you're in a season right now where you've really built your house in substitutes instead of in God's presence, I just want to ask you to stand up right now as a symbol of saying, God, I'm desperate for more of you. If there's anybody here desperate for more of God this morning, I invite you to be bold and to stand up. To say, God, I want you more than these things in my life. Listen, if you have a tug on your heart, stand up. As a symbol of saying, I've had enough of pursuing vanity. I've had enough of chasing the wind. I want to build something that lasts. I want to build something that's eternal. I want to find my rest in something real. Stand up if you want refreshing rains of the Lord to come. Lord, I pray for every person here. I invite you to stretch out your hands as well. Lord, I invite you to come. And Lord, things don't change in a day, but Lord, today we choose to follow you. Today we choose to set our eyes on Jerusalem, to set our eyes in your presence and say, God, we don't want the substitutes. We want you, God. We're in the valley of the weeping and we need the refreshing. We're in the hardships and we want to see the light. Lord, I'm carrying this burden, but I don't want to carry it anymore. Jesus, step in. You're the only way. Step in, Jesus, if we want to see breakthrough in our community, Jesus. We need you to step in. Use us, God. We're tired of doing it on our own. We're tired of trying to be our own God, Lord. We want you to be God. Lord of heaven's armies, be God in this place and direct us, Jesus. And listen, if you're not standing up right now, I invite you to stand up for this time of worship. The season of fasting might be over, but let's let our desperation increase. You can put your hands down if you want. Let's get desperate in our lives. Let's get desperate for our communities. Let's get desperate for our families because God wants to move. And listen, refreshing rains might not come right now, but keep journeying. Don't give up now. There's still more. There's hope to come. Jesus is still alive. He's sitting on the right hand of the right hand of God. Amen. Let's worship together in prayer and seek his face.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.